All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the next installment in our Best Picture Oscar series here on The Cinephiles. And today, we are tackling Sean Baker's Anora. I am John Rocha, joined as always by my co-host, Steve Morris. How are you, Steve?
Well, I've got a lot of drugs in me, and I've been up all night, and I'm just on a private plane to Vegas, so things are going pretty well. How about you?
Very good. I don't believe you because you don't have Russian accent.
And listen, I talk in Russian accent when I want to. If I've been in country long enough, I don't need to.
Long enough. Yes, I'm excited to be diving into this movie. This is one of my favorite films of 2024, and what a massive surprise and discovery this film was, and what incredible performances from Mikey Madison and Yura Borisov for their work throughout the film here, as along with a bunch of other actors that really brought this world to life. And Sean Baker's very capable direction throughout this whole movie, and the twists and turns, the surprises, the comedic moments, the moving, emotionally touching moments. And that finale, which a lot of people are debating at the end of this movie. So, Steve, what are your overall thoughts with Anora? What was your experience with this film?
I loved it. Absolutely loved it, top to bottom. I think this is one of my favorite films of the year. And the thing about it is there's a certain structure to movies. Mm. And so, like, if you're watching Rocky, you know that we are building towards a fight, and at the end of the fight, he's either going to win or he's going to lose.
Right.
You know what I mean? We understand where the movie's going, and it's not that you can predict everything that's going to happen, but you understand what you're sitting in and where you're going to end up. And I would say for most of the movies that are nominated for Best Picture, many of which are excellent, I understand what the movie is about and where we're heading, even if I don't know exactly where it's going to go.
Yeah,
this movie, I had no idea where it was going. The entire time through, I was continually surprised by the directions it went. And sometimes when you are surprised, it's because a character did something out of character or not human, or you didn't quite believe where it went. And that's why you're surprised. In this case, the characters were continually very human, very real. And it felt like a real kind of, I haven't had this particular night, but I have had the night where you're up all night looking for the thing, and the evening has gone wrong, and you're dealing with a lot of stuff, and you never know where it's going to go. And I found this totally surprising. The performances completely convincing, particularly some of the lead performances, which I think are fantastic. Mm. And I thought it was a really honest, true portrayal of a certain kind of life that I thought felt really, really human. Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah, this took Pretty Woman and completely injected steroids into it, basically. And that's the kind of how I look at this movie, which is why I loved it so much. I mean, I've never seen Mikey Madison in anything. I didn't see Better Things. I didn't see a couple of the other shows that she's been a part of. So this was a completely new actress to me. When I walked into the movie, and her voice, her look, her demeanor, her energy. I have met women like this growing up through life in certain areas of life, maybe in certain locations in life. I have met women like this, and there was such a reality and truthfulness to what she was doing. You're caught up and you're with her initially, but even though in the whole time you're thinking to yourself, like, you're really deluded by what you think is happening here. Then there's a little moment you're like, well, maybe it will work out. Maybe this will be put together. Maybe they will figure out the things that they've got going on. And then it takes this insane turn. And then you're like, okay, now I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where we're going. And then you add in almost like a Three Stooges type of element to it, with her leading the way. And then we get to a situation where she has to confront the parents of this guy. And what happens with all of that? And this will they, won't they thing that all of a sudden develops between her and one of these other guys that I really did not see coming either. And that's the great thing about this film, is that it is chock full of surprises and twists and turns that are not twists and turns. These are things that happen in life sometimes, the human things that happen in life sometimes. And I found them to be very organic and believable as the film was going along. And I thoroughly enjoyed that. So yeah, for me, who's not that schooled on a Sean Baker film as well, I didn't see The Florida Project. I haven't seen a couple of his other movies. So to me, this was a whole experience overall in terms of Mikey Madison and Sean Baker. And I can't wait to see more from both of them as they go along. And I don't want to leave off Yura Borisov as Igor, who was great as yeah. well. So Steve, your thoughts though, what are your thoughts on the performances here? Mikey Madison, as I said, Yura Borisov, Lindsay Normington as Diamond, who's kind of her main antagonist throughout this whole thing. Ivan here played by Mark Ilyshetyan as well. And Vincent Radwinski as Jimmy. And though that whole collection of people like Karen Koragulina as Taurus, what did you think of all of this stuff?
I think top to bottom, these are great performances. I mean, led by Mikey Madison, who I think gives an incredibly brave performance, just brave in terms of the sexual material, but brave in terms of the physicality, the violence, the aggressiveness, like her character. And it's so funny, somewhere in the middle, as I'm taking notes and watching the movie, I was thinking about her and the character, you know, of Ivan or Vanya, whatever you want to call her, and call him and go. And I just suddenly went, oh, she's worth five of him, you know? Like, she's such a powerful character. And even right from the opening, like, now, I personally have never actually gone in a strip club. I mean, that doesn't seem, what? You know, moral. I've never, I don't think so.
Saying that you've never been in a strip club to me on this show? I will not accept your lies or participate in them. Go ahead, yes.
Man, they nailed it. They just nailed that world. And they nailed it in a way, and this is what I really liked about it, was it wasn't demeaning. It was, this is this job, and this is how this job works.
Yep.
And it didn't have a sense of judgment. It didn't have a sense. And it was sexy, but it was also just like, this is what this is. I thought that was great. I thought Mark Edelstein, or however you say his name, is it's a great performance. Because, you know, I've said this on the show many times. It's like, if there is one thing that really pisses me off, it is people acting with privilege or thinking they're better than other people because of social class or something like that. And what he manages to do is, despite who he is and his behavior, I like him for a hunk of the movie. He seduces me as well to some degree. And then when you see, you know, kind of as more is revealed about who this guy really is, it just is like, oh, you sucked me in, and I shouldn't have been sucked in, because this is, you know, and I think that all the thugs, in particular, the guy playing Igor, but Taurus, I mean, all of these guys, they don't feel like, it would have been very easy to go, these are the Russian mob, you know?
Right.
And you have that sense, well, like in this moment where we're going, are these the mob? Like, and then you quickly realize, like, no, these guys don't know what they're doing. They're, you know, these are just the guys. And I think all of them are really great. I think all the performances are totally convincing as these real people, not as actors playing these kinds of parts. That's how I felt.
Yeah, the gift of, and the thing is, we just talked about Wicked in our previous installment, and that's a film that it certainly has great performances in it, but it's also driven by amazing production design, by this world that they're world building that John M. Chu does as the director and the production designer, who's a part of it as well, building the world and cinematography and all that, and the costume design. Like, all of it brings you into this fantastical world, right? We know strip clubs. We know this. We know cities like this. We know places like this. We'd argue that we know people possibly like Mikey Madison's character here, Annie. But what the twists of this film is these characters being brought to life by these actors. They are the ones who are doing the world building. They are the ones who are fleshing out what's going on here and the relationships and the situations and this nebulous idea of who this guy's parents are, of who Ivan's parents are, and their power in the situation. That's all being brought forward by the people lower on the pole of their particular business. And so I think that's where you see great actors step forward and deliver fantastic performances and flesh out the world that you're living in and give it new angles and new approaches that you had never seen before overall. And I think you're right about pointing out the guys who are part of this crew trying to find Ivan. That's where the movie takes some great comedic turns. And it never loses its menace throughout. Even though there's some really comedic moments and frustrating moments and weird moments, there are still moments of brutality within the comedy that never always reminds you how dangerous of a situation this possibly is for Annie as it goes along. But her defiance, her strength, I mean, Mikey Madison here, as she adapts to everything, is incredible. First, the arrogance, thinking that she's found her meal ticket and believing in the naively believing that this was going to be possible for her. And maybe it would have been if the parents had approved it and whatever, but I think Ivan would have cheated on her eventually. But like her diving into it, you're like, okay, I want to believe this for you. I want this for you, but I'm concerned. And then when the turn and the twists happen, you're caught up in her. And then her physical fights with everyone, I think, is fantastic. And as this whole journey goes along, she's defiant. She will not be silenced. She will not be pushed around. She will not. And all of that plays out so well. And as you mentioned here with Tauros is just the frustrated middleman, right? He is middle management, just trying to get to this situation so he doesn't get fired. He's got a family to worry about. Yeah. He's got a wife who calls him constantly. Like, these are these things that are important throughout. And Igor's situation, all of this, is he's a henchman who's much more intelligent than your normal henchman. And so he's trying to figure this out and adapt to it step by step. Garnick is hilarious because he's clearly below Tauros, slightly more incompetent, also kind of middle management, and his comedic beats are great throughout as well. So yeah, all of the acting here is just so great at world building, but also helping you buy into these relationships and the weird, crazy, insane stuff that happens in the twists and turns of the movie.
It's great. Just the struggle, because I had this thought of like, are these the Russian mob? Mm. Are these guys who are used to dealing with violent, complicated situations? Yeah. And as you slowly realize, like, that's not what's happening here. And you go right. Like, oh, if I suddenly, you know, I do some work for some rich family and then I'm suddenly in their house and there's a stripper and a marriage and she broke my nose and this like all sorts of craziness. And literally, if you are not a violent person and don't actually really want to hurt this woman, what do you do? Like, how do you handle this? And Ani's, Mikey Madsen's, like, slow observation of what's happening. Because, like, one of the things that her performance is so great is you see, again, it's what we were talking about with Wicked, is you see her thought process as she's going along. Thought process number one is, I'm going to make some money off this guy. This is my job.
Right.
And then sort of like, well, he's kind of fun, you know, he's kind of a fun guy and he's really, really rich. Oh, I can make some good money. And then when it becomes, they go to Vegas, and there's one moment in Vegas, by the way, where he's mean to the guy who's getting their suite ready.
Yes.
And that moment to me is such an important moment because it's like he is making a joke.
Yeah.
But this is exactly the kind of joke that rich people make that I don't think is fucking funny.
Right.
You know, like it messing with the person that has no power, who desperately has to please you because you're the rich person and you think it's funny to fuck with them, is not funny. And so that moment where she's observing that, I'm going like, okay, this guy might not be what we want to believe that he is. And then you see the moment where she gets convinced to marry him.
Yeah.
And you could see at first she's like, no, obviously we're not really doing that. And then you see her get sucked in. And it's so interesting because we were just talking about the act two, act three break in Wicked. Mm. This is the act one, act two break to me, which is that there's this moment as they're starting to talk about getting married that I'm starting to get really, really stressed.
Yeah.
You know, is that there, because it's been mostly fun up to that point. And then you just go like, oh, I don't feel good. Something's not going to be good. And that is a perfect transition to act two because the movie wants you to feel stressed. Right. I think they did just a great job with that. John, did you know that your actual age might not be the same as your biological age? I mean, it's not just about your birthday. Your body could be a little bit older, could be a little bit younger than what you think. And that's where True Diagnostic comes in. With their True Age test, you can discover your true biological age. Plus, get insights into things like your risk for heart disease, Alzheimer's, and even early mortality. And the best part, it's all done from the comfort of your home. No prescriptions, no lab visits. It's just a simple test sent right to your door.
Yeah, Steve, that's why I was so excited when True Diagnostics said they wanted to come on and sponsor us here on The Cinephiles. You know, you and me both talk about our health, and certainly people listening to us, they're very aware of their health as they get a little bit older. And you want to kind of stop things from coming or be more aware of what might be coming. And True Diagnostic has a thing called True Age Test. And in that True Age Test, you can find out so much about the age of your body, which helps you. So I was very excited when I got my True Age Test recently from True Diagnostic.
And the cool part is this is not guesswork. The True Age Test is based on peer-reviewed research from scientists working at Harvard, Duke, and Yale. I mean, this is real science that you can trust. So think about what it would be like to know exactly how your lifestyle is impacting your body. True Diagnostic makes it easy to get started, offering simple, actionable insights that you can use right away. This is your chance to take control of your health and get the bigger picture. Don't leave it to chance. True Diagnostic helps you understand not just where you're at now, but where you're headed.
All great points, Steve. All right, Cinephiles fans, are you ready to find out your biological age? Right now, our listeners can get 20% off their entire order at TrueDiagnostic.com by using the code CINEPHILES at checkout. That's TrueDiagnostic, TrueDiagnostic.com. Just use the code CINEPHILES to save 20%. Plus, if you subscribe, you'll get an additional 20% off the 50% discount. Discover your true age today.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And that's the writing of Sean Baker, right? And I think we should take a moment to talk about his direction and his writing here, Steve. As I said, I'm not too familiar with his work because I've never seen Red Rocket. I haven't seen The Florida Project. I haven't seen Tangerine. But all of those have gotten great reviews. Have gotten some nice responses from audiences and what have you. And but getting into this one, I mean, there's so much that's well done here, direction wise and writing wise, that I came away very impressed by Sean Baker and wanting to see his work and go back and watch these films and see if I get the same kind of experience or see the beginnings of what we're going to get in Anora from his earlier work, like as it matures and as he gets more experience doing it, how his voice grows in confidence in what he's doing and how he grows in confidence as a director in what he's showing and the journey is taking us on. What did you think of his direction and what did you think? I know you've highlighted a little bit of it, but what do you think overall of the writing? Any other great scenes stand out for you as well?
I'd be very curious to find out how much of her "fuck you, you motherfuckers" is written because it feels very improvisational, you know.
Yeah.
Like I'm very curious about it. You know how much of that was figured out. I think in terms of his direction, first of all, and I mean this, I'll just say what I think, which is like it was really nice seeing a movie that was really sexual. You know, like,
I agree. Yes.
Because we haven't really, you know, there was this time in the 70s and moving in the 80s where we went, hey, sex is on the table and this is a part of the human condition. It's a very important part of humanity and we can actually make movies about it that are intelligent movies and they can be sexy. And then we kind of went, well, showing anything sexual is exploitive.
Right.
And often it is exploitive. I'm not saying that it's not, but then it's also saying, oh, we can only put the mirror up to so much nature and there's some stuff we're just not going to talk about. And I like that they were talking about sex in a frank way and showing it in a frank way. I think he handled it really well. And I heard that Mikey Madison, that they offered to have an intimacy coordinator, but she just felt so comfortable with Sean and with the actors and understood what they're doing that it didn't feel necessary. So I think all that was handled really well. And I think, again, man, naturalism, making it, it's one thing to be able to stage a good scene and film it well and edit it well and tell your story well. That's difficult enough. And, you know, having taught film for many years, most of my students don't get to the point where they can stage a scene and have it make sense and have it be clear.
Right.
To stage scenes that feel just like there's just shit happening and this is just what's happening and it doesn't feel staged or like, you know, directed is much higher skill. And I think he totally pulls that off.
Yeah, you're right about that. You know, naturalism is essential in films like this, but not always easy to pull off with characters that are so, can walk that line into can cross that line into caricature. And I think that takes a really great director to understand how to walk them close to that line, but not over that line and still make it feel very natural and believable in the world you've constructed. And I think Sean does a fantastic job with that as a director and as a writer, you know, because each of these characters, they all have moments to kind of flesh out who they are, to give you a slight amount of backstory that feels believable and understandable. Even the mother, like when the mother shows up, everybody understands who the fuck runs this situation, right? It's very clear, even though she doesn't, there's no like backstory with her or anything like that. You know, just by the way she's, the way the dialogue is written and the way she performs the dialogue and the way everyone else is reacting to her, you understand what her power is in the whole situation.
Yeah.
And the father's distant aloofness because of his exhaustion of dealing with his son and possible disappointment in his son for years, like all of that is running underneath the performances. And it's a great director talking with great actors about what they want certain lines to convey or what they want to see in terms of levels in the performance. And all of that comes through in Sean's direction and in Sean's writing. And even the way he's moving the camera in and out of certain areas, whether we're inside the car or outside the car, to see it slamming into that and trying to turn around and all, like there's these little moments. And then of course the finale, in the finale, having us outside the car and then inside the car for this really intimate moment. And I'm not going to ruin who the intimate moment is between, but that was a great piece of direction there. He just sat us in it and had us watch it. And Steve, I 100% agree with you. I'm so tired now recently of this conversation of you can't have sex in the movies or it's, yeah, I get the male gaze. I totally understand that. And I respect that. And certainly when you go back and watch 80s films, you can absolutely see that the male gaze is an element of some of the sexual stuff and the nudity and unnecessary nudity there is in those films. But films like this need to have this sexual element to them, be brought out in a way that's very matter of fact. Right. And I think that was important and essential for this movie. It is. I remember when I said it on the hot mic, Jeff had a face like, what? You think this film is a sexy film? And I'm like, hell yes, it's a sexy yeah. film. She is sexy. And the back and forth between them and the moments and the scenes with them are super sexy. And certainly Mikey Madison said that she bought a pole and had her dad install it in her living room. And she spent 3 months learning how to do the pole. And then Sean cut almost all the pole scenes. And she had to do just so, but she begged him to at least include one scene with a pole so her 3 months of working on it would be validated. So there was a lot of work done behind the scenes by all of these people to convey a reality to this world that felt natural and believable. And certainly that's a positive of the movie overall. So look, it won the Palme d'Or. It was named one of the top 10 films of 2024 by the National Board of Review, AFI. It made history at the Critics' Choice Awards by becoming the first film to only win Best Picture and no other awards, but it also won the Producers Guild of America Best Picture, Directors Guild of America for Outstanding Direction, and it got 6 nominations at the Academy Awards, 5 nominations for the Golden Globe Awards, including Best Picture, and 7 at the British Academy of Film Awards, including Best Film. So as we're coming close to wrapping up here, Steve, what are your thoughts on its chances for winning any of these awards? Do we think Mikey Madison possibly has a shot here, or what are your thoughts on the film overall, possibly winning Best Picture? Because a lot of people are starting to come around on that possibility.
So first of all, I think Best Actress might be among the toughest categories there are.
That's a great point. Yes. And
I think there's reasons emotionally why Demi Moore is, you know, probably the front runner for that.
Yeah.
But there aren't, you know, basically 4 out of 5 of them, if they won, I would be great with, you know. Yeah. And yeah. Mikey Madison, I would be thrilled. I think that would be awesome if she won Best Actress. In terms of Best Picture, at this moment, there is still one Best Picture nomination I have not seen.
Oh,
but at
okay.
this moment, Anora might have my vote.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's not my prediction, because right. I suck at prediction. But my vote in terms of what my favorite movie of the year was might yeah. be Anora. It's real close between that and a couple of others.
Do you think Yura Borisov will pull off an upset in Best Supporting Actor, or do you think it'll be Kieran Culkin or Guy Pearce possibly for The Brutalist?
I think it would be really cool if he pulled off that upset, but it doesn't seem that likely to me. You know, because they're, you know, the Academy votes for so many reasons that are emotional, you know,
yeah.
and part of it is like, well, how many people have actually seen this movie rather than yeah. some of the others? They might not have. And it's a different, and the thing, and this falls into the kind of a performance where it really just feels like him. You know what yeah. I mean? It doesn't yeah. feel like acting. It feels like, oh, they just found this guy because yeah. he's so much that guy. And that actually can work against an actor who That's might be true. Doing amazing, amazing work.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a lot of people don't want to give Eminem credit for what he did in 8 Mile, but he is acting. He is. Yeah. Yes. Yes. It's his life story. Yes. It's his, but he is acting, for God's sakes. Yeah. So yeah, it's a great point. I think best picture, I didn't think it was a possibility. Now I think it's very much a possibility because of the recent victories. I still think The Brutalist is the more natural Oscar film, but I don't know if the AI controversy has affected people, which is just such,
It's stupid.
It's stupid. I agree. And so I don't know if it's affected people's votes, and maybe that's the reason Anora is winning, or people genuinely like Anora. Of course, you have to create space for that. So it's very possible that it does take Best Picture. I don't think it'll get Best Director. I mean, if Mikey Madison gets Best Actress, that's a massive upset, I would say, even though she's fantastic in the film. But you can't rule anything out, and certainly Yura Borisov. If he won, I would not be surprised, and not even the slightest bit. As far as original screenplay, I don't think it'll win over The Brutalist, but again, it's very possible. So we will see. In film editing, I can't even possibly pontificate on film editing. So those are my thoughts overall on the Oscars. So, all right, final thoughts on this film, Steve, or anything we didn't cover, didn't highlight about the movie that you want to make sure we talk about before we wrap up our discussion?
My final thoughts is, if you haven't seen Anora, you should go see it. It's really good. It's on, I forget what streaming service it's on, but it might be Netflix, but it's really, really good and totally worth your time. This is a cinephile's movie. This is the kind of that is that we don't get that often. It is that independent, totally unique vision that feels like real life, surprises you constantly, has great performances top to bottom. I like this movie a lot.
100%. And just to add on to what you said, at least here domestically in the States, you can rent it in HD for $6 on Prime Video or on Apple TV or Fandango. So you can absolutely watch it in a number of places if you haven't seen it yet. And $6 is much cheaper than you would pay to go to see it in a movie theater, and you're seeing it in the comfort of your home. So I agree with Steve. Highly recommend you all watch it if you haven't watched it. It's truly worth your time. And I love this movie for the uniqueness of it all and for the performances and just the general overall surprise that this movie left me with by the end of the film, which was just caught up in the story, following the story, tricked by the story. And at the end, I actually feel like the story ended on a satisfying conclusion, which doesn't always happen with films like this. And so I think all around, Sean Baker nailed it with this film. I haven't seen his other films, but I imagine this is probably the best thing he's done yet. So I look forward to seeing more from him as he goes along in his career, and Mikey Madison as well. All right. Thank you all so much for listening to this breakdown of Anora in our Best Picture Oscar series here that we're doing on The Cinephiles. We appreciate you all madly. And of course, don't forget, you can be part of our Cinephiles Award shows. Show coming up on March 1st here, live. We're going to be handing out awards using the Oscar nominations as the basis for this particular version of the award show. And Steve, how can people be a part of this thing to vote in it who are listening to us right now?
Well, all they have to do is go to patreon.com/thecinephiles, and for no money down, they can just join the free tier. It doesn't cost you anything, and there you have access to the ballot where you can vote for all of your favorite nominations. You can even write in something if your favorite song, actor, or movie was not nominated. We have a best snub category where you can write in who was the biggest snub of the year in any category, and this is your chance to be a member of the Academy, of the Cinephiles Academy. Yeah. And of course, while you're there, if you want to join one of the other tiers where you can get ad-free versions of the show or listen to our Cinephiles watch-alongs, you could do that as well. But definitely come join patreon.com/thecinephiles and vote in the first annual Cinephiles Awards.
We might have just stumbled onto it. The CFAs. We might have just stumbled onto the CFAs. I like this idea.
All right.
As a possibility. So yeah, go vote for the CFAs in our first annual show. We hope you guys can do that because we look forward to presenting. And there'll be special guests who are going to be coming on and presenting some of these awards, or at least introducing the categories. So look for that coming very soon from us as well. All right, for my partner, Steve Morris, I am John Rocha. Take care of yourselves. Be well, and look for another installment in our Best Picture Oscar series coming very soon here from The Cinephiles.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.